you brought your Bibles and want to follow along, go ahead and be turned to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We'll be there in just a few minutes. Last week, we started a brand new series called Closer. And if you were here last week, you know we began looking at this idea of drawing closer to God. We're beginning to look towards our fall series and get into some fall planning. And before we did that, just spending some time drawing closer to God. And last week, digging through that idea, we really looked at it from about 30,000 feet. And we looked down at this idea of kind of reconnecting with God. And this week, I want us to take that idea and I want us to get a little bit more practical with that thought of the idea of connecting with God. You know, if we looked at last week, the idea of, was there ever a time in your life where you felt closer to God? And to think about that thought for a moment, and hopefully you did, and hopefully you didn't just think about it last Sunday, maybe you thought about it a little bit this week, but then to be able to look back in your life and to realize where it was in your life where you felt closer to God. And not only where was that, but what has caused you to maybe drift away from God, to maybe lose connection with God, and then the idea this morning will be for us to look at practically how we can reconnect with God. You know, you look at the world that we're living in and you see all the different signs of stress and hatred and violence and fear and anger that is going on in our world. And it has always been there. You go back and you think about Israel and the struggle that Israel had with Gentiles, the Jews and the Gentiles, and the struggle that they had, and the hatred many times that they shared. It has always been in our world. But here's a scary thought. The hatred that we see in our world first begins within the heart of a human being. And what you see going on in our world is really a manifestation of what is taking place within the hearts in the minds of people. In fact, what you see going on in your own personal life, what you see going on in your marriage, what you see going on in your family's life, what you see going on in your children's life, what you see going on at work, when you see issues between employees, when you see issues between employers and employees, and you see all these struggles, what those really are is a telling sign that gives you a glimpse into what's going on in people's hearts. So what I want us to do this morning is, with that idea in mind, is I want us to look at this idea of how do we draw close to God. Because whatever life story that you are telling with your life, and we all are, all of us are telling a story, all of us are writing a narrative with the words that we use, with the way that we live our life. We are telling the world the story of our life. And I don't know what kind of story you are writing with your life, but most people are writing a story of where they're trying to look like everything's okay. They're trying to act like everything's okay. They're trying to hide something in their past, or maybe they're trying to overcome something in their past. And because of that event in their past, their story now has been this story of trying to deal with that event. That's what we looked at last week. So I want us to dig into this morning this idea of how do you connect with God. Because when you look at a life story, you look at Job, and you see Job's life, and you know the story of Job. Job dealt with such despair. He dealt with such grief. He dealt with such depression. He dealt with such anger and bitterness and all the other emotions that you could imagine. But yet through it all, he remained connected to who? To God. He remained connected to God. So what I want to do is I want to ask you that question again. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've ever felt closer to God? And then I want you to think about that for a moment, and I want us to look this morning at how we can connect with God this morning. How can we draw close to God this morning? The very first passage I want you to see is in Lamentations chapter 2. And it's this idea that if we are going to connect with God, if we're going to reconnect with Him, if we're going to draw close to Him, we are going to have to express to Him how we feel. We're going to tell, we have to tell him exactly right now how we feel. Not how we want to feel, not how we want everybody else to see how we feel, not this life that we're projecting, but deep down inside, we have to be able to tell him right now exactly how we feel. Now, I want you to notice Lamentation chapter 2. Lamentation chapter 2, and I want you to notice the emotion behind this verse. Let's pick up in verse 18. Their heart cried to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. Notice verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street. Do you see the imagery that is used? Where you have this picture of water that is being poured out before God. It's this idea of pouring ourselves out before God. When was the last time that you just came clean with God? Where you just poured out all of your pain and all of your hurt and all of your struggles and all of your issues and you just emptied yourself before God? When was the last time? You know, I can remember growing up and, you know, you have these like mountaintop experiences spiritually, especially, you know, when you're in the youth group and you go on retreats or you go away to a camp and you spend a week away from everything and you're on this mountaintop experience where you're just so focused on God and you're so focused on being close to him and you're so focused on making sure that your life is right with him. And you come away from those moments and you feel so connected to God and you feel so close to him and your relationship with him feels so alive. And there's just this vibrancy in your walk and you feel different, you act different, you talk different. But then you go back to work. And then you go back to school. And then you go back to your everyday life. And before you know it, that mountaintop experience where you've just connected with God, you've drawn close to God, seems like a distant memory. And now you're so wrapped up in everything that's going on in your life that God seems like he's not as close. And deep down inside, we know we're the ones that have moved, but we like to make all these excuses like, well, you know what, I've been really busy and I've got to get through school and I've got to make a living and I got to take care of this and I've got to go make sure I do that and I've got a lot of things going on right now, so you know what, it's okay, God. Here's the thing about telling him how you feel. This should happen every day of our life. This should be something that we do constantly, where we are constantly just pouring ourselves out to God. Where we are just willing to open up and express to God how we feel. And if you were really honest with yourself this morning, how many of you, no hands, would say that you feel stressed? How many of you would say that you feel absolutely just exhausted? How many of you would say you feel scared? How many of you would say that you feel this sense of grief and this sense of just overwhelming despair for your life or maybe a loved one? How many of you, if you were just totally honest this morning, would say that you just deal with such guilt, that you feel guilty right now, that you don't even really and truly feel good enough for God right now? You're here because this is what you do. This is where you go. But if you strip everything off and you get down to just you and your heart and your relationship with God, you still feel like you're not good enough. Guess what? God is okay with that. God is okay with your questions. God is okay with your anger. God is okay with your struggle. It does not mean that you're not good enough because you feel inadequate. If anything, it makes you feel just like every single one of us. But here's the important thing. We have to express that to God. I want you to see this because it doesn't just happen here in Job. It also happens with David. And I want you to see this in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, because Job wasn't the only one who just poured out his heart to God. I want you to notice what David does in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, let's pick up in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Notice specifically, though, verse 16. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I love this idea that he's just like, I am your servant. But I want you to drop back up and notice verse 10 now. Notice this. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I want you to notice what David's saying. Notice what he says. Even when I spoke that I am greatly afflicted, even when I poured out my heart to you about how I feel, I still believed. And I want you to think about that because a lot of times we feel like this is a moment of weakness for us to express how we feel. But that's not what David is saying. David is saying, even in those moments when I was afflicted, I still believed. And that's why I spoke to you, because I have belief that you are God. And not only that you are God, but that you can help me. And therefore, I'm going to pour out my heart, and I'm going to pour out my anger, and I'm going to pour out my affliction, and I'm going to pour out all the things that are going on in my life, because I know this, that there's not a single thing in the world that I can pour out to you about the way that I feel that will ever make you not love me. There is no shame whatsoever in any of us pouring out our heart to God this morning, especially if we have this thought that God just might not love me if I really let him know how I feel. The beauty of what David is saying is that David knew that God was God and that God was supreme, and he knew that, and because he knew that, he was willing to pour out his affliction because he knew that God was God and that God could care and that God would act, and not only that, that God would always love him in spite of how he feels. So I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time you just poured out your heart to God? We're going to do something right now. I'm going to give you a minute of silence, and then I'm going to say a prayer for us. But I want you to use this moment. And I want you to use this moment, and I want you just to stop in just the busyness of everything that's going on in your life, and I just want you to pour out your heart to God and just tell him how you feel right now. Father, we lift you up as we fall down. Father, we exalt you on high as we pour ourselves out. Father, we hit our knees as you raise up. Father, I just pray that we may realize at this moment that we can come to you with anything. That we can be honest and real in this moment right now, because we want to be close to you, because we want to be transparent with you, because we want to be real with you. Not because you don't already know this stuff. We realize you know it, but it helps us to confess to you what you already know. And Father, I just ask that you give us the courage to approach you right now. That we would be willing to just pour it all out. That we would be willing, Father, to empty everything at your feet. Our fears, our failures, our sins, everything. Because we want to be so closely connected to you. Father, we love you so much. And it's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen. I want you to notice the second thing right here that Job did. Not only did Job express to him how he feels. It's already on the screen. Notice the second thing here. We praise him in spite of how we feel. Now, Job did this. If you look at the latter part of Job chapter 1, notice what we have written for us in verse 20. Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now notice, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. He has experienced loss, and yet he still says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. The whole book of Job is about this question. Will you remain faithful to God even when life begins to fall apart? Or when life begins to fall apart, will you begin to act out as your life falls apart and pull away from God and begin to have hatred and bitterness and wrath and all of the terrible things that we see in this world? You see, when you look at Job and you look at the Bible, you begin to realize that the circumstances of our life, the circumstances of our struggle, they can never change the truth about God. No matter where I am in my life, no matter what I'm struggling, no matter what's going on in my life, I can always find myself in the position of wanting to worship if, this is the huge if, I'm close to God. One of the struggles that I know that I've seen in my own life is when I find myself with this strange, weird feeling of like, I don't know that I can worship. I don't know that I want to worship. I don't know that I want to sing. I don't know that I want to pray because of what has happened in my life. It is such a telltale sign of the fact that I've moved away from God. How do we live like this? We have to stay so close to God because life is going to happen. We are going to lose loved ones. We're going to deal with terminal illnesses. We're going to deal with struggle. We're going to deal with disappointments. We live in a broken world because of sin. Life is going to be a struggle. And the only way that we can live this life and we can create this story, this narrative of living this story that Jesus has called us to live, which is this joyous life that rises above the circumstances of what we see, so that we don't have to live with full of bitterness, so we don't have to live full of anger, so we don't have to live full of just this idea that everybody has to see things my way. We understand that it's all about God. And the story that we get to write with our lives is a story that God is writing instead of a story that I'm writing. Anytime I write my own story, I mess it up. I'm not a writer. I never could be. I don't understand how you do that. Those of you who can write, I'm amazed. I would probably begin to write, and I would write one sentence on a sheet of paper, and I would fill up a trash can with just paper because I would just crumple it up and throw it away, crumple it up and throw it away, crumple it up and throw it away. That is what I do with my life when I try to write my own story. When I try to say, "God, I got this. I can do it on my own." And what happens is, as I get away from God, I get so full of anger, and I get so full of pride, and I get so full of bitterness that I got a whole lot that I got to pour out in front of him. There are so many other passages we could look at. We don't have time. Habakkuk 3 deals with this, but I want you to notice two more things real quick. If we're going to connect with God, we have to ask him for strength. We have to be willing to go to God for strength. Notice Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Love this verse. Psalm 105 and verse 4. "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. I cannot make it on my own." I do not have enough power. I do not have enough might. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have enough of anything to make it through this life on my own. In fact, the more that I try to do it, the further I get away from God and the more issues that I have. The more that I hurt people, the more that I have bitterness in my heart. In fact, when you begin to see people living a life of bitterness and hurt and anger and maliciousness, those people are screaming out with their life that there's hurt that they haven't dealt with. And it's one of the reasons why we have to love people so much, even when they hurt us. Because we realize, because we're close enough to God and we pour out ourselves to Him and we praise Him in spite of how we feel and we ask Him for strength, that He begins to build us up to the point where we can love people who are mean to us. How is it that Paul could live his life in the face of such danger? Because he continually poured himself out to God. I want you to notice the last thing real quick, and that is this. We've got to keep focused on his priorities. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writing for us, and he's speaking directly to every single one of us through the power of the Spirit. Notice this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Here's the deal. The things that mess up our story, the things that we get so discouraged about, are the things that are temporary. Health, finances, relationship, people, words, actions, those things do not last forever. And yet when we write our life script and our life story and we have pain that's introduced into our life, if we don't draw close to God in that moment of pain, we then begin to allow that pain to change the way that we live. And now we have this hurt in our past that then causes us to be bitter, and it causes us to be sarcastic, and it causes us to have cynicism. Why do you think as young children we have such big dreams, we have such big aspirations, we see the best in people, we see the best in life? It's because we've never been introduced to this idea of fear, pain, and rejection. When we draw close to God, He helps us deal with those. Be turning, look at Hebrews chapter 12. There's a beautiful verse. Because I want to ask you this morning. Has your faith ever been shook to the point to where you begin to question God? Has your faith ever gotten to the point? Has something ever happened in your life that has just shooken you up? And it's caused you to doubt, it's caused you to fear, it's caused you to question. There's a beautiful, beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to read this. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful, church. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And then let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. But you notice this phrase, let us be grateful receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why we've been shook up is because we're disconnected from God. When was the last time that you felt close to God? When was the last time that you just poured yourself out and you told Him exactly how you felt? That you told Him that you were scared, that you were angry, that you were hurt, and you didn't worry about telling Him all that stuff because you knew no matter what you told Him, He was still going to love you. You know what worship, if we have to wait till everything is perfect and right for us to be able to worship, it will not be worship. Worship is in the midst of struggle, in the midst of pain, we've poured ourselves out to Him, we've told God we're empty, we've told God there's nothing there, and in spite of all that, we say, God, You are on the throne, and we lift You up, and we love You. And Because of that, we ask for strength. And we realize that as we draw close to God every day of our life, we have been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We've been given a kingdom that should give us this eternal hope that life is always going to be okay. Even when we hear terrible news, even when we're hurt by people, by others, it's still going to be okay because we are so close to God that nothing can separate us from His love. How many of you want to feel that way? How many of you would say right now that you are at peace with God? That you're at peace with your brother or your sister, that you're at peace with your spouse, that you're at peace with your children. Here's the beauty about what we get to do. God has not moved and will never move. The beauty of this morning is that we can come to Him and that we can fall down before Him. We can be made new. We can confess our sins. We can become a follower of His. We can confess His name. We can turn from our sins and we can be baptized, and we too can be a part of a kingdom that will never be shaken. If there's been a time when you've been closer to God, and it's not today, if you can't remember the last time that you poured your heart out to Him, I encourage you, boy, I encourage you, do it this morning while we stand and sing.